Let's get to our guest, Henrietta Treyes, Director of Economic Policy at Veda Partners. Henrietta, I'm sure you want to talk a little bit about the soul of the nation, and we'll get to that in a few moments. I want to talk about the action in the markets today. It seems like traders probably moved to a neutral stance here ahead of the jobs report because there's a lot on the line there. I'm not sure if there was really much of a tell today in the market action. Do you think at the moment bad news is good news when it comes to the jobs report?
I think definitely, as counterintuitive as it seems, bad news would be good news for the market. Everybody's eyes are on the Fed, as you and your colleagues know and have been talking about now for months. It's really all that matters. The stunning July employment numbers, 528,000 new jobs, was unexpected. So it's almost like people are throwing in the towel and saying, we cannot predict post-pandemic how these monthly numbers are going to go. We have a general sense of where inflation is, what the economy is doing. But we can't forecast with any kind of hard certainty what the jobs number is going to be tomorrow. And we're all eyes are on the Fed as ever. And I think, you know, as you mentioned earlier, there's a pretty conservative estimate out there about how the Fed's going to have to react from here, continuing its current stance, trying to ward off inflation and keep the economy from running roughshod over everything that they have tried to secure so far in the last, what, 5 or 6 months. So I do think that tomorrow's, if there is bad news, would be good news. Obviously, President Biden's going to try to get out in front of that by talking about how we are not walking into a recessionary environment. The economy remains strong, almost even if there was a bad jobs number.
Henrietta?
Still, yes.
Yeah, I just want to just get a sense of, you know, we got the jobs report. Is that now taking a back seat to what we get on the 13th, which is the CPI read?
I think so. It's certainly where I've been focused. Although, you know, it's an interesting question because we did have that Inflation Reduction Act passed. And the big hang up there and my central focus has always been on whether we could get that bill to become a law. Now that it is a law, it's maybe less of an indicator. The CPI numbers also, you know, we know that gas prices are down. In my neck of the woods, it's $3.34 now. So we can see tangibly as voters that the and as investors that the gas prices are coming down. That's such a pivotal component of how voters feel sort of viscerally.
It's almost not the issue, though. Professor Jeremy Siegel at Wharton said that 26 of the last 27 inflation indicators in various economic reports, we had one today, prices paid in the ISM, have decelerated. But the Fed is stepping up its inflation fighting rhetoric and its promise to raise interest rates. So it's telling you that the Fed is not data dependent. Now, markets are generally data dependent. Is that a negative for the market? And if so, by how much?
Well, I think it's really difficult for investors to see that the Fed is not paying attention to the same data that everyone is seeing. We've seen charts all week about how all the economic indicators on CPI are coming down across pretty much every category, and especially the ones that people feel the most. And as we saw for the last however many months, the inflation argument is almost self-fulfilling as well. So to see that people are bringing prices down, the prices are in fact coming down, it makes it difficult for the Fed to disconnect and justify that. But nonetheless, all attention is on the Fed, as they're the drivers, and you don't want to fight the Fed.
Henrietta, at what point do the midterm elections become an issue for markets, or do they not?
You know, it's interesting you asked that question. I've been going to some macro lunches with a bunch of economists and clients, and almost always they use November 8th as sort of an inflection point for when they expect the Fed to start reacting a little bit differently to the state of the economy. So it's almost this sense amongst investors that post-election things will start to level out. Some of that was expectations that inflation would be back to a roughly normal space. But I do think that the investment community is very focused on the midterms. There's a lot of confusion with the polling data moving around as rapidly as it has in the wake of the Roe v. Wade decision by the Supreme Court, the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, and then the latest developments with former President Trump. So there is a lot of attention on the midterms, I would say, amongst investors right now.
We should remind listeners that President Biden will deliver this primetime speech coming up outside Independence Hall in Philadelphia. That'll be carried live here on the program coming up in about an hour and 40 minutes. Henrietta, we know there's a lot of divisiveness in the United States. That's not really new, but apparently it's getting a little bit worse. And I'm wondering if you think that President Biden, after becoming president, should have done more to reach out to Republicans, or if the Democrats are right, that it's the fault of the Republicans?
You know, that's tough to say. I think President Biden behaves a lot like Senator Biden, which is that he focuses on passing legislation, and it's pretty hard to argue with the track record. You know, a $1.5 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, and then obviously the legislation that passed on COVID relief, and the different bills that were passed in the run-up, like the CHIPS Act, which was a material bipartisan bill. I think it got 69 votes, which implies 19 Republicans voted for it in the Senate. So I think there's a lot of legislative focus on bridging the gap between Democrats and Republicans, at least in Congress. But as you can see from the polling data around President Trump's supporters, that's a 35% threshold that will not budge under any circumstances. So it's almost hard to imagine something that President Biden could do to sway those voters. And obviously, we're seeing it from external forces like the Department of Justice, the FBI, and people's reactions to the January 6th committee. So the things that are outside the control of the White House. But certainly, it's a polarized nation. And interestingly, when you have polarization that works both ways with both Republicans and Democrats very galvanized to vote, weirdly enough, that usually results in a very even-keeled election because everybody from both sides, and the two sides are roughly equal in this country in terms of voter population, they both go out to vote in droves, and that yields a pretty moderate shift. No waves of either side, no red wave, no blue wave. So you're looking at probably a pretty status quo environment for Congress in 2023 as a result of the current polarization.
Yeah, and go on, Brian.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to just add probably to something you're going to say that, you know, if we have gridlock, it won't affect markets. It rarely does. In fact, they quite like gridlock.
Right. Markets traditionally love a gridlock situation. So it's our forecast that the House will be Republican with, you know, slight control, maybe 15, 20 seats. And the Senate will remain pretty evenly split. Neither party will have a material majority. 50-50. Go ahead.
Is it the economy? And you know, finally, because we don't have that much time, you're reading on the economy and whether it benefits Joe Biden or hurts him.
Well, I think the argument that inflation is the number one reason President Biden should be kicked out of office and Democrats should all lose their election has largely been diluted since its peak in February. At that point, there was an 18-point spread in the polls between Democrats and Republicans. Voters overwhelmingly were supporting Republicans, and that 18-point spread has been eliminated now. Some of it because of the inflation numbers, as you pointed out earlier, coming down across those 24 different segments.
Henrietta, thank you so much for joining us. Henrietta Traeser, Director of Economic Policy at Aveda Partners.